Hey, feeling unsure about your finances these days? You're not alone. That's why Noble Gold Investments is here to help. Just hear it straight from the people who they've helped. The Noble crew walked me through everything with no stress. With their help, I could finally sleep easy at night. And now this month, Noble Gold Investments is handing out a free 5-ounce silver America the Beautiful coin if you qualify for an IRA. Invest in gold and silver with Noble Gold Investments. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Congressman Dan Bishop joins the program. We discuss the latest with the 9:30 deadline looming. Then Brian Festa to talk about the New Mexico governor and why I disagree with Brian Kemp using an emergency declaration to lower taxes. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com and subscribe to our podcast. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com, the most important student movement in the country, tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. To my surprise, and I mean that, overwhelming support for our idea, freedom@charliekirk.com. And for those of you that are just tuning in, what is the idea? The idea is that the Senate and the presidency is not controlled by Republicans. We need to defund Jack Smith. We cannot allow them to interfere with the election. Joe Biden will likely pardon his son Hunter anyway while he is president. And if you have a hierarchy of what matters the most, winning the 2024 election matters the most. And therefore, defunding Jack Smith is critical. And then you could also call the bluff. Think about this. You could say, okay, no money for Jack Smith and no money for the babysitter that Hunter Biden has until after the election. Just put a pause on it. Suspend it. Ideally, we just defund Jack Smith. Obviously, ideally. But we don't control the Senate. That's awful. It's too bad. We don't control the White House. But think about how interesting that would be to have Chuck Schumer come out against this idea. But, well, Chuck, it's no money to investigate Hunter Biden, because that would actually, Joe Biden would sign that, and it would also be no money into his political opponent. I'm not saying it's an amazing idea, but it very well might be necessary, given that right now Republicans do not seem like they'll be able to defund Jack Smith. Joining us now is Congressman Bishop. Congressman, thank you for taking the time. Boy, you have a couple eventful weeks coming up, Congressman Bishop. Walk our audience through what are the big demands that your team is making coming before 9:30, the priorities for your colleagues, Congressman Bishop.
Well, Charlie, thank you for having me on, and I'm on the telephone because I'm running around like chickens with heads cut off trying to see if we can get, frankly, compensate for the absence of planning and leadership within our own conference to do something appropriately bold to the circumstances. What I caught the last few minutes of your supposition or hypothetical about what we could do, I think there are a number of things. You know, we struck a basic deal in January that we were going to see material reduction in the scope and expenditure for the woke bureaucracy, the weaponized bureaucracy, in exchange for continuing to allow defense spending to rise a relatively small amount, and that the appropriations bills haven't yet materialized at the target that was agreed to. So we got a lot of – so we're trying to hash that out. There are people who are talking about even now, a proposition for something bold to change on the border in the terms of the border chaos we face. I personally am drawn to, I believe something, one of the things I've been in distress about as the appropriations bills have come forward is, you know, it's just sort of like business as usual with the Department of Justice. That's weaponized. The FBI, the DOJ decision making, now you talk about it at the where the potential, you know, appearances of potential corruption are as strong as they can be. Yeah, I mean, the indictments in the election matter are a four-square attack on the First Amendment. That's what they are. You may love or hate Trump or any of the people associated with him, but that's what they are. And it is in the power of the Congress, in my view, to defund those. Congress has to decide what gets funded. So I don't know the answer yet, but the challenge for the Republican conference is to be bold enough to do something. And you know, McCarthy has to walk into Chuck Schumer's office and say, look, Chuck, read me any way you want to. We're not moving a bill forward to spend anything unless this item, these items are there. And I'm waiting to, you know, I'm seeing here, I was just going to come walk out of a meeting where there is a proposal that's kind of coming together. I have some questions about whether doing anything on border chaos is going to really make a substantive change if Alejandro Mayorkas is prepared to flout the law anyway. But that's kind of where we are.
So Congressman, you know, we've been floating out this idea of potentially saying that we suspend all DOJ investigations into presidential candidates, including Cornel West, Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, at least until after the 2024 election. Just want to kind of have you think about that, not now and just in the days to come, because that would be an interesting way to actually call the bluff, because the defunding of Jack Smith, I think, is the most important thing. We need a surgical strike against the deep state and what they're able to do to be able to slow down the Trump campaign, throw stuff at him. It's unconstitutional. It's immoral. So here's my fear, Congressman, and you guys have been doing a great job of holding the line, is that we are not running out of time is not necessarily the best way, is that usually in these moments, there's panic and that there is hysteria and we lose focus. And so the Democrats need to know we mean business. And the Democrats want a completely and totally wide open border. They want blank checks for Ukraine, and they obviously want money to be able to go to Jack Smith. So, Congressman, what tactics are you going to try to use or have our audience use during this upcoming legislative fight, so that we can at least get some victories? And are you potentially willing to shut down the government?
So there are three camps here, Charlie. You're well aware of this. If you look at the Senate, there are lots of Republicans that want to spend more money. It's true in the House as well. There is another group of Republicans that doesn't really want to, but they have always been stewed in the juices that you have to stay on the team. No matter what the leaders of the team do, you got to stay on the team and you got to go. There is another cohort here of which I'm a part, and it is not huge, but it is sizable enough. We saw it in January, that is making clear we are not going to allow business as usual to prevail. We are not going to sign on to a clean CR. We are not going to have any kind of a CR that extends out months and months. So that's one. And the other part, frankly, Charlie, is there are a number of things I think that could be done that would represent real progress for the American people that would be acceptable to me. But they're not that complicated. It's just a question of deciding that you're going to act, finally breaking through the resistance of this place. And that requires a mental adjustment on the part. It happened in January. It can happen again now, but it's going to take the same. It's going to take a demonstration of will. And there were doubters in January. There were critics among so-called conservatives to ever doing anything other than just falling into line. But I can tell you that I just walked out of the room of people that will not do that any more than they did in January. So there's plenty of time. It's not difficult. It's not complicated at the end of the day. People can complicate it endlessly, but it requires honesty. So we're not going to be cosmetic and lie about what was done, and requires will. And it's just that simple.
So marching orders here, Dan, as we close, how can the audience help? Where can the grassroots be the most effective as we loom towards 9:30?
Keep letting your congressman know that the status quo is not acceptable. Whatever they do, whatever is going to happen, that is not the choice. They cannot say, well, we really wanted to get something substantial changed, but we're just at the end of the day, we just couldn't do it. That is not going to do it. They must make robust and meaningful change. This is the moment to do it. No more capitulations in the moments like the debt ceiling negotiation, where when you're in divided government, it's the only way to make any kind of a step forward is to say, we are going to do this, and nothing's going to get resolved until you agree. So tell your congressman, man up. It's time to go.
Congressman Bishop, we have your back. Hold the line. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlie.
Strong Cell is amazing. I got to tell you, the combination of NADH, CoQ10, and collagen is really something. You know, people ask me, they say, Charlie, how do you keep your energy up? How do you just keep on pushing? Look, part of it is diet, nutrition, but I'll be honest, I take supplements really seriously. Fact check me on this. You can say, oh, Charlie, I'm going to fact check you. Type this into your search engine. NADH. Just type it in. What does it tell you? It might tell you that it is the secret to living long, anti-aging properties, more energy. Well, all of that is being proven in more and more clinical trials. NADH is a precursor so that your mitochondria can remain healthy and vibrant. The elites, a lot of billionaires, people with a lot of money, they spend a ton of money on NAD. It's a fact. NAD just might be your secret weapon for more energy. I take NAD every single day. I could tell you that NADH compared with CoQ10, the trials show very, very good things. I don't take my word for it. I mean, honestly, my word should be good for something, but fact check me. Look at it. And if you do it over 30 days, you'll see an increase in energy. I wake up better than ever before. NAD can help you potentially, again, fact check me on this, with depression, anxiety, other issues that you might be dealing with. It is nature's gift to you so that you might have extra energy and mental clarity. You guys can use promo code Charlie for 20% off. It's strongcell.com/Charlie. NAD might be nature's secret weapon for you. I love it. I take it every single day. Try it for at least 30 days to see the maximum benefit. And let me know, has NAD helped your life? Strongcell.com/Charlie. Check it out. Strongcell.com/Charlie.
Why are Republican AGs scared of their own shadow? There's a show trial going on right now in Texas. I've known Ken Paxton for years. The behavior that has come to light of the alleged affairs, if true, I cannot and will not defend. I don't think anyone is going to defend that. Not the point. Texas is being invaded on the southern border. Texans had a choice to make in a recent election, both in a primary and then a general. It was not a mystery that Ken Paxton had some, let's just say, baggage, federal investigations, all that nonsense. So Ken Paxton was in a very heated primary because I think that we should have elections solve many of these issues, not oligarchs. Okay. So there was a primary. Who did Ken Paxton run against in the primary? Ken Paxton, the Attorney General of Texas, ran against George P. Bush, the son of Jeb Bush, if I'm not mistaken. The Texas Tribune last year said, quote, George P. Bush's defeat could be the end of a line of a four-generation political dynasty. So George P. Bush ramped up all the Bushes. They cannot resist political power. So this is the son of John Ellis Bush, Jeb, exclamation part, point. His uncle, of course, is George W. Bush. His grandfather, George H.W. Bush. And this was not a very widely covered race. We actually covered it pretty well, I have to say, but it wasn't that well, that wasn't that watched that much nationally. We had Ken come on the show a couple times. So you had Bush v. Paxton. And then my friend Louis Gohmert comes into the race. He really doesn't like Ken Paxton. And I've known Louis for years, and we just do not see this the same way. Louis and I have been texting, and Louis wants Ken out of the way. Louis just wrote an article basically calling for the removal of Ken Paxton. There's a lot of personal animus here, we have to understand. So Louis ran in, and then it forced a runoff because it kept Ken Paxton below the 50 threshold. And then Ken Paxton won the runoff. Ken Paxton defeated George P. Bush in the runoff. And then Ken Paxton went on to the general election and won. So the voters knew Ken Paxton has some issues, but he's doing more good than bad, and we want a Republican attorney general. Okay. Then out of left field, while Texas is being invaded, while Donald Trump is facing 500 years in federal prison, while you have local DAs that are acting in complete rogue fashion, where does the Texas legislature spend their time? Not building a border wall, not talking about the restoration of Texan sovereignty. No, the Texas legislature all of a sudden launches an impeachment of Republican duly elected Ken Paxton. Out of the blue. You gotta wonder, is that the Bush striking back? The Bushes didn't get the AG office before, and then they strike back in this way. Then they start this show trial, and it passed the House, and now this the trial is basically over in the Senate. The vote could happen any day now, any day, to try to overturn the will of the Texas voters. The attorney representing the quote-unquote whistleblowers is a long-time Bush ally. Now, I won't say any names, but I was recently in Lubbock, Texas, and I met a very polite, and I think by all accounts, good man who is a state representative in Texas, in the Lubbock area, and he voted against Paxton. And we had a, let's just say, rather heated discussion. I think we kept it respectful, but I was very confused. I said, why are you doing this? I said, it's turning Texas into a laughingstock. You guys are literally have handed your border over to the cartels for child sex smugglers, and you guys are settling some sort of fraternity score as if the local fraternity president made you angry. Like, this is middle school stuff. In the middle of a war, you guys are being invaded. And he said, well, corruption, corruption, corruption. And I asked him to define that. And our conversation admittedly did get cut a little bit short, but I find it to be a very weak argument. I'm not defending Ken Paxton's personal behavior. It's not what I'm doing. I am defending how effective of an AG he's been. I'm defending the will of the voters. And most importantly, I'm defending what the heck are the priorities of the Texas legislature. And apparently it's not securing the border, pushing back on Biden, defending everyday Americans against Leviathan. It's going after one of our own.
Listen, as students begin heading back to school, do you think they'll be learning about the founding principles that made America the freest, most prosperous nation in history? Will they learn that our unalienable rights are God-given and not granted by government? Will they be given a full and honest account of our nation's history? The answer to all these questions is yes for students at Hillsdale College. And these days, in addition to teaching college students, Hillsdale has extended its teaching to K-12 students and lifelong learners like you and me. If you're not doing so already, one of the best ways to start learning from my friends at Hillsdale is through Imprimis, Hillsdale's free digest of liberty. My listeners can sign up for free at this special website, which is available for a limited time. It's at charlie4hillsdale.com. I look forward to Imprimis each month, and you can too. It's interesting, useful, and free. The best and smartest in conservative constitutionalist thought. Find out more about Hillsdale and Imprimis at charlie4hillsdale.com. They're an excellent college, America's greatest college, charlie4hillsdale.com.
Okay, joining us now is Brian Festa. Does a great job, co-founder of We the Patriots USA. We had a great event in Boise, Idaho, not too long ago. I really enjoyed it. Brian, thank you for joining the program. You guys have been playing offense against the governor of New Mexico, Michelle Lujan Grisham. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Charlie. And yeah, we really enjoyed having you out here in Idaho, and hope to see you again soon. New Mexico, I can't even believe what this governor did. Late last Friday afternoon, I got word from one of our attorneys that she had issued, Governor Grisham, that is, had issued an executive order banning the carrying of any firearms anywhere in the city of Albuquerque or anywhere where the crime rate had exceeded a certain predetermined threshold, which she said constituted a public health emergency. This is why we said it was so dangerous during the COVID years that, you know, these governors were using this public health emergency to justify all kinds of government overreach. And so she did that. And we sprang into action within less than 24 hours. By Saturday evening, we had filed a federal lawsuit against the governor. We just had a hearing yesterday, and we were successful in getting a federal judge to issue a temporary restraining order against the governor's order, which was a huge victory. Both Democrats and Republicans have come out strongly against Governor Grisham. Her own attorney general, Raul Torres, who is a Democrat that served in the Obama Department of Justice, actually sent a letter to her the day before the hearing saying, I'm not going to defend you against this lawsuit in court. My oath that I swore to uphold and defend the Constitution takes precedence over any obligation I have to defend you in court.
So I want to play some pieces of tape here. Great work, by the way, Brian. And let's just go through it one by one. Here is the quote and then her action. The First and Second Amendment does not exist when I say so during an emergency. Play cut 20.
But your point is valid.
You took an oath to the Constitution. Isn't it unconstitutional to say you cannot exercise your carry license?
With one exception, and that is if there's an emergency and I've declared an emergency for a temporary amount of time, I can invoke additional powers. No constitutional right, in my view, including my oath, is intended to be absolute. There are restrictions on free speech. There are restrictions on my freedoms. In this emergency, this 11-year-old and all these parents who have lost all these children, they deserve my attention to have the debate about whether or not in an emergency we can create a safer environment.
So Brian, this is, I don't want to say unprecedented because we saw it during COVID, but this is the governor of New Mexico just saying I can wave a pen and get rid of people's rights. Your reaction?
Yeah, apparently I was stunned when I first heard that myself. She's saying her oath to uphold and defend the Constitution is not absolute. Well, I'm sorry, Governor Grisham. I took an oath as well as an attorney, the same kind of oath to uphold and to abide by the Constitution. And I do consider that absolute. And so does Raul Torres. Credit to him, again, a Democrat attorney general who said the exact same thing. And to David Urias, again, appointed by Biden just recently. He's a federal judge appointed by Biden. And regardless of whether he's a Democrat, Republican, what he believes, he said in open court yesterday that he is bound to uphold the Second Amendment and the decision of the United States Supreme Court in Bruen just last year, which clearly stated, emphatically stated, that there is an individual right to bear arms both inside the home and outside the home. And Charlie, what they said in that decision specifically is you can't designate certain areas, certain cities as sensitive places in order to take away the right of the people to keep and bear arms. And that's exactly what she did here. So it's almost like Governor Grisham saw that in the Bruen decision, circled it and said, yeah, that right there, that's what I'm going to do. Unbelievable.
It really is. I want to play more tape here because it's worth really examining this. Here's a reporter asking, if someone's got a concealed carry permit in Albuquerque walking on a public street, they're not going to get arrested. The governor says, maybe they should. Maybe they should. We're just going to arrest you for exercising your constitutional rights. I mean, play cut 31.
If someone's got a concealed carry permit in Albuquerque walking down a public street, they're not going to get arrested.
I can make the point that they maybe they should be. Because if you're not horrified that on any street corner in too many cities in New Mexico, there is someone with a gun sticking out of their waist or their belt, but we won't be able to arrest all of them.
Holy moly! Maybe they should be. So I visit Albuquerque frequently at my friend Steve Smotherman's church, Legacy Church, and it's a dangerous city. I think it actually is one of the most dangerous cities, if not the most dangerous city per capita in America. It's completely run by the cartels. And it's very interesting. When you go to Legacy Church, you know, you have these little old ladies, 5'2", amazingly patriotic, faithful, Hispanic grandmothers, and they have their little purses, and they all have guns in them because they need it. It's a very so the governor of New Mexico wants to go arrest a bunch of 5'2" Hispanic grandmothers because they carry a firearm so that some thug doesn't try to rob them or rape them. Your reaction, Brian?
Right. I mean, it's completely ludicrous. Our individual plaintiff, so we were the lead plaintiff in this lawsuit, but our individual plaintiff, Dennis Smith, is a retired citizen of Albuquerque. He's lived there for 40 years, frequents public spaces, public parks, and he openly admits, he's like, listen, I'm not getting any younger. I'm not exactly fleet of foot. I can't get away from an attacker. And he was just saying in our press conference yesterday after the hearing that he's seen his neighborhood just deteriorate into all kinds of things. I mean, he's got not just, you know, obviously criminals and drug cartel and illegals that are pouring over the border there, as you know, Charlie. He said there's even wild dogs, coyotes, everything, and is running around his neighborhood. Yes. He said, I don't feel safe even stepping out on my front porch without my weapon. And you're going to take away his ability to protect himself? This guy who's been, like I said, living there 40 years as a retired citizen, and these little old ladies, like you said, at the Legacy Church, you're going to take away their ability to defend themselves against some thug who's come over the border illegally, or a member of the drug cartel, or whatever. And you're going to say ordinary citizens can't protect themselves. No, you know what's happening here as well as I do. They know that a disarmed population is a population that they can control much more easily. They're trying to take weapons out of the hands of law-abiding citizens. They're not doing anything to take the weapons out of the hands of the criminals.
Let's go to cut 32. The Bernanillo County Sheriff saying, I take my oath seriously. We will not enforce this. This gives me hope. One of the ways that we have a check and balance against these wannabe Hitlers, this witch governor, Grisham, is noncompliance. Having other office holders say, I'm not going to enforce it. Remember, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. Silence is consent. Play cut 32.
Let me be clear. I hold my standards high, and I do not or never will hedge on what is right. And I take my oath seriously. In reference to concealed carry and open carry, the Bernalillo County Sheriff's Office will not enforce this segment of the order. While I understand the urgency, the temporary ban challenges the foundations of our Constitution, but most importantly, it is unconstitutional.
And then continue cut 33.
The governor made it clear in her press conference. She knew we as law enforcement did not agree with the order, and as a result, this was solely her decision. Other than this ban being unconstitutional, I'm a law enforcement professional. This order will not do anything to curb gun violence other than punish law-abiding citizens for their constitutional right to self-defense.
Thank you, Founding Fathers, for being so clear with the Second Amendment. Brian, tell us more about we, the Patriots, what you're doing, you know, the great work that you are advancing, and also just final reactions on the autocrat from New Mexico.
Well, God bless Sheriff Allen. We need more like him, right? Who actually understands his oath and his obligation to uphold and defend the Constitution. Yeah, we the Patriots USA.org, we exist to defend the rights of ordinary Americans everywhere from coast to coast. I know you've been doing that for many years, Charlie, as well. So you get this. You understand how important it is for organizations like ours to stand back and take back this country, especially in the courts. You've talked about lawfare. You talked about it when you were out at our conference. The video of Charlie's talk at our conference is available on our website. We have a conference video page. If you go to our content at the top of the page, you'll see that. Please subscribe to our email list so you can stay up to the date and the latest developments in this case, because we do have another hearing. We're going back to court October 3rd. This was just a temporary restraining order. We have to have a hearing on the preliminary injunction to see if we can have a more permanent moratorium on this executive order. But I would encourage everyone, if you can, I know times are tough, if you can support us, to give us a donation for our legal efforts. There's a donate button right at the top. We even have a Second Amendment legal fund, because we're actually trying to build a litigation machine to fight back against all of these encroachments against our right to defend ourselves. Because that's really what it is, our rights to defend. You know, I'm a father. I know you are, too. You know, we need to be able to defend our families, protect our children here. And they're not going to let us do this. It's just insane. This woman is a witch, as you said. I put her right up there in the category of, like, Gretchen Whitmer, Kathy Hochul. I mean, she is just so over the line here and so egregious in her abuse of her authority, really her abuse of her office. that it's unconscionable, and we need to stand ready to defend that. So that's why we encourage any support we can get. And I thank you so much, Charlie, for having me on and allowing me to talk about this case and our work.
Great work, Brian. Anytime. You're welcome back. Thanks so much. If you understand how the Marxists operate, how totalitarians operate, they need an emergency. They need a crisis. They need to be able to declare states of emergency to give themselves more power. And we've been very critical when governors do that, when governors put forward mask mandates, when governors say that you can't have more than two people on a boat where you can't go to school, or when presidents do it. So what happens when a Republican governor does it? Now, let's be fair. Brian Kemp coming out and declaring a state of emergency over inflation does not potentially infringe on your natural rights nearly as close as the lunatic from New Mexico. It's not the same thing. But I still don't like it. I still do not like overusing the declaration of emergency to get what you want. So yesterday, Brian Kemp, in kind of a silly, you know, slapstick way, comes out and he says, inflation is a state of emergency. Now, I'm not diminishing. Many of you in Georgia are probably going to save a lot of money from this, or a couple hundred bucks a year. I'm pleased with that. I'm talking about a principled argument. Are we not just playing into this idea that you can somewhat arbitrarily sign a declaration of emergency when things are not going your way? We've been very critical when Democrats do that. Here is Brian Kemp, 91, talking about that he is going to unilaterally, he has the legal authority to do this, just say inflation is an emergency, therefore no more gas taxes. Play cut 91.
We saw this news hit during this program yesterday that you're declaring a state of emergency for Georgia because of these rising prices. What does that allow you to do for the residents of your state?
Well, we suspended the collection of the motor fuel or gasoline or diesel fuel tax yesterday to help hardworking Georgians fight through Bidenomics. We're trying to keep a few dollars more in people's pocket by allowing them not to pay the 31 cents a gallon for gasoline or 35 cents a gallon for diesel fuel in the great state of Georgia.
Now, so you're willing to use emergency powers. Why don't you use emergency powers to fire Fannie Willis, Brian Kemp? Fannie Willis is a far greater emergency to the Constitutional Republic than even inflation. And inflation's a big problem right now, no doubt. Fannie Willis represents a much greater threat to the constitutional order, to our traditions, to the country. And so here's another question, Brian Kemp. Why don't you just put the legislature together and then repeal the gas tax? Why do you have to do this unilaterally? Are you afraid that if you call a special session of the legislature, that Fannie Willis might be brought up? Now, this is too cute by half for me. This is Brian Kemp, who doesn't actually call the special session when necessary to hold Fannie Willis accountable. But he's willing to do it because of gas prices. And I'm sure some of you in Georgia are thrilled about it. You say, you know, we're going to get more money in our pocket. And look, I don't even think gas taxes should exist. Let me be very clear. And then get rid of them completely. But then call a special session and do it through the legislature. If there's any emergency in America right now, an actual emergency, it's not climate change. It's not even inflation. And that's a problem. The emergency in America is our invasion on our southern border and out-of-control political prosecutors shredding the United States Constitution on a daily basis. Those are some emergencies happening right now. And instead, Brian Kemp is saying, well, I'm willing to declare an emergency when it comes to gas taxes. I think we have to be very, very careful using emergency use authorization powers. We are playing in their hands. They're going to declare an emergency on climate change very soon. I'm telling you, they're going to sign emergency over the weather. Can't go to school. Can't drive more than 10 miles. can't have certain cars. Tyrants need emergencies. These gimmicks, in the long run, play into the Democrats' hands. I am not a fan.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.